Sahana vavatu, sahana bhunatu, sahaviryam karavavahai, tejasvinavaritamastamavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 48. Adhyaya Prakashika. This 19th chapter describes how Maharaj Yayati achieved liberation after he recounted the figurative story of the he-goat and the she-goat. After many, many years of sexual relationships and enjoyment in the material world, King Yayati finally became disgusted with such materialistic happiness. When satiated with material enjoyment, he devised the story of a he-goat and she-goat as corresponding to his own life and narrated the story before his beloved Devayani. The story is as follows. Once upon a time, while the goat was searching in a forest for different types of vegetables to eat, by chance he came to a well in which he saw a she-goat. He became attracted to this she-goat and somehow or another delivered her from the well, and thus they were united. One day thereafter, when the she-goat saw the he-goat enjoying sex with another she-goat, she became angry, abandoning the he-goat, and returned to her brahmana owner, to whom she described her husband's behavior. The brahmana became very angry and cursed the he-goat to lose his sexual power. Thereupon, the he-goat begged the brahmana's pardon and was given back the power of sex. Then the he-goat enjoyed sex with the she-goat for many years, but still he was not satisfied. If one is lusty and greedy, even the total stock of gold in this world cannot satisfy one's lusty desires. These desires are like a fire. One may pour clarified butter on a blazing fire, but one cannot expect the fire to be extinguished. To extinguish such a fire, one must adopt a different process. The Shastra therefore advises that by intelligence, one renounces the life of enjoyment. Without great endeavor, those with a poor fund of knowledge cannot give up sense enjoyment, especially in relation to sex, because a beautiful woman bewilders even the most learned man. King Yayati, however, renounced worldly life and divided his property among his sons. He personally adopted the life of a mendicant or sannyasi, giving up all attraction to material enjoyment, and engaged himself fully in devotional service to the Lord. Thus he attained perfection. Later, when his beloved wife Devayani was freed from her mistaken way of life, she also engaged herself in the devotional service for the Lord. Shloka Anusharanam, verses 1 to 8. 18, the goat story. 19 to 29, King Yayati accepts sannyas. The goat story. Verses 1 to 18, the goat story. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, O Maharaj Parikit, Yayati was very much attached to women. In due course of time, however, when disgusted with sexual enjoyment and its bad effects, he renounced this way of life and narrated the following story to his beloved wife. My dear beloved wife, daughter of Sukracharya, in this world there was someone exactly like me. Please listen as I narrate the history of his life. By hearing about the life of such a householder, those who have retired from householder life always lament. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 2. Persons who live in the village or town are called Grama Nivasi, and those who live in the forest are called Vanavasi or Vanaprastha. The Vanaprasthas who have retired from family life generally lament about their past family life because it engaged them in trying to fulfill lusty desires. Paladmar said that one should retire from family life as soon as possible. And he described family life as the darkest well, hitvatma patam griham andakupam. If one continuously or permanently concentrates on living with his family, he should be understood to be killing himself. In the Vedic civilization, therefore, it is recommended that one retire from family life at the end of his 50th year and go to vana, the forest. When he becomes expert or accustomed to forest life or retired life as a vanaprastha, he should accept sannyas. Vanam gato yad dharim ashrayeta. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.5. Sannyas means accepting unalloyed engagement in the service of the Lord. Vedic civilization, therefore, recommends four different stages: the life of brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. One should be very much ashamed of remaining a householder and not promoting oneself to the two higher stages, namely vanaprastha and sannyas. Means he's ashamed that he, as a living entity, was so absorbed in material life. But it's not that, oh, he's ashamed of what he did and wish he'd done it in a different way. It's a matter of one understands that material life then won't give any satisfaction because it won't please the soul. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, while wandering in the forest, eating to satisfy his senses, a he-goat by chance approached a well, in which he saw a she-goat standing helplessly, having fallen into it by the influence of the results of fruitive activities. Footnote 22. The goat refers to yayati. The forest is samsara. The female goat is material happiness, represented by Devayanti, Devayani. Sardartha Darshani 9.19.3. Srila Prabhupada writes, here Maharaj Yayati compares himself to a she-goat, a he-goat, and Devayani to a she-goat, and describes the nature of man and woman. Like a he-goat, a man searches for sense gratification, wandering here and there, because the forest is samsara. And a woman without the shelter of a man or husband is like a she-goat that has fallen into a well. Without being cared for by a man, a woman cannot be happy. Indeed, she is just like a she-goat that has fallen into a well and is struggling for existence. Therefore, a woman must take shelter of her father, as Devayani did when under the care of Sukracharya, and then the father must give the daughter in charity to a suitable man. For a suitable man should help the woman by placing her under the care of a husband. This is shown vividly by the life of Devayani. When King Yayati delivered Devayani from the well, she felt great relief and requested Yayati to accept her as his wife. But when Maharaj Yayati accepted Devayani, he became too attached and had sex life not only with her, but with others, like Sarmishta. Yet still he was dissatisfied. Therefore, one should retire by force from such family life as Yayati's. When one is fully convinced of the degrading nature of worldly family life, one should completely renounce this way of life, take sannyas, and engage himself fully in the service of the Lord. Then one's life will be successful. So the concept being that when we're engaged in material life, that we're trying to, thinking that money will protect us, money will give us facility, being surrounded by family members, that security, that will bring happiness. These are the things that they're not connected to the soul, so they actually can't give anything. Right, so when that's understood, then one can actually move forward in devotional life. But otherwise, if one thinks that, no, this is actually going to give something of substance, then it's a problem. That's why for the devotees, they perform the duties within the Varnashram system, but it's not for the sense gratification to be gained. It's from that you have a body, you have to in some way engage it in the Lord's service. So according to what the circumstance is, you engage it in whichever ashram is suitable. But the idea is once you come to the point where one is only doing things for Krishna, that's all the one's doing. Okay. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, after planning how to get the she-goat out of the well, the lusty he-goat dug up the earth on the well's edge with the point of his horns in such a way that the she-goat was able to come out very easily. Srila Prabhupada explains, Attraction for women is the impetus for economic development, housing, and many other things meant for living comfortably in this material world. Digging up the earth to make a way out for the she-goat was a laborious task. But before accepting the she-goat, the he-goat underwent this labor. Ato griha kshetra sutapta viter janasya moho yam aham mameti. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.8. The union between male and female provides the impetus for gaining a nice apartment, a good income, children, and friends. Thus one becomes entangled in this material world, because one thinks that by expanding all these, that will create the happiness. It may create a situation that's comfortable, but the point is it can't create happiness. Does that make sense? You know, that's the whole point. It's the devotional service that creates. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What if the idea is, you know, you have the apartment and the income just to kind of be able to give the body a place to exist? You know, to, just to maintain the body. What if the idea is that, and you understand that it won't give me happiness, but it's...
Yeah, so there's no problem. That's what we want's trying to get to. That's what one's trying to get to. Yeah. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, when the she-goat, who had very nice hips, got out of the well and saw the very handsome he-goat, she desired to accept him as her husband. When she did so, many other she-goats also desired him as their husband, because he had a very beautiful bodily construction and a nice mustache and beard, and was expert in discharging semen and in the art of sexual intercourse. And yeah, goats always have nice beards and mustaches. Right? Yeah, like, you know. Therefore, just as a person haunted by a ghost exhibits madness, the best of he-goats, attracted by the many she-goats, engaged in erotic activities and naturally forgot his real business of self-realization. Srila Prabhupada comments, materialists are certainly very much attracted by sexual intercourse. Yan maitunadi grihamedi sukham hitu cham. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.45. Although one becomes a grihasta, or householder, to enjoy sex life to his heart's content, one is never satisfied. Such a lusty materialist is like a goat. For it is said that if goats meant for slaughter get the opportunity, they enjoy sex before being killed. Human beings, however, are meant for self-realization. Tapo divyam putraka hena satvam. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.1. So that's the point, is that no matter how much one is engaged in sensual activities, one will always feel that, no, it should be more. Something more should be there. So it doesn't matter how much it is. It's less, it's more. Compared to another family, it may be more or less. But whatever it is, it will never satisfy. That's just the way the senses work. Human life is meant for realization of the self, right? If it's meant for just having a good time, that's what goats are for, right? So living entities take birth as goats, then they're quite happy. Right? Human life is meant for realization of the self, the spiritual soul within the body. Dehinosmin yata dehe, Bhagavad Gita 2.13. A materialistic rascal does not know that he is not the body, but a spirit soul within the body. However, one should understand his real position and cultivate knowledge by which to get free from bodily entanglement. Like an unfortunate person who acts madly, haunted by ghosts, a materialist haunted by the ghost of lust forgets his real business so he can enjoy so-called happiness in the bodily concept of life. Yeah, so haunted by ghosts, one continues on, just the modes of nature just push one. One is not thinking about it, one's not doing it, just one that goes on because the modes of nature do that. So that's like haunted by a ghost. Right? It's just going on, it's just happening. So that's the difficulty that comes up. So Yayati's pointing out. So at some point, one has to actually acknowledge what's happening and actually come to the point of giving up the concept of enjoying the senses. Right? So when senses are only engaged in the Lord's service. Yes?
A little louder. The ghost of lust is spoken of.
Right.
So, Can we say, like, even in the real world, like when someone has been haunted by ghost, he takes shelter of someone else, you know, to remove the ghost. So here we take the shelter of guru, scriptures. So
yes, yes. That was the whole thing. He says the human life is meant for self-realization. Right? So that's the thing. However, one should understand his real position and cultivate knowledge by which to get free from bodily entanglement. So how does one do that? By taking shelter of the spiritual master and the devotees. Yes, so like you said. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, when the she-goat who had fallen into the well saw her beloved goat engaged in sexual affairs with another she-goat, she could not tolerate the goat's activities. Aggrieved by her husband's behavior with another, the she-goat thought that the he-goat was not actually her friend, but was hard-hearted and was her friend only for the time being. Therefore, because her husband was lusty, she left him and returned to her former maintainer. Footnote 23. Srila Prabhupada writes to verse 8, the word Swami Nam is significant. Swami means caretaker or master. Devayani was cared for by Sukracharya before her marriage, and after her marriage she was cared for by Yayati. But here the word Swami Nam indicates that Devayani left the protection of her husband, Yayati, and returned to her former protector, Sukracharya. Vedic civilization recommends that a woman stay under the protection of a man. During childhood, she should be cared for by a father, in youth by her husband, and in old age by a grown son. In any stage of life, a woman should not have independence. So she went from the situation she was in that was comfortable, and when that became a disturbance, she went back to the previous situation that was comfortable. So that's, yeah, what's happening. Being very sorry, the he-goat, who was subservient to his wife, followed the she-goat on the road and tried his best to flatter her, but he could not pacify her. The she-goat went to the residence of a brahmana, who was the maintainer of another she-goat, and that brahmana angrily cut off the he-goat's dangling testicles. Okay. But at the he-goat's request, the brahmana later rejoined them by the power of mystic yoga. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 10. Here, Sukracharya is figuratively described as the husband of another she-goat. This indicates that a relationship between husband and wife in any society, whether higher or lower than human society, is nothing but the same relationship between a he-goat and a she-goat. For the material relationship between man and woman is one of sex. Yanmatunari grihamedi sukham hituchcham. So, the position of what is experienced in human society and what's experienced in animal society is exactly the same. The point is if you engage your senses according to what is the standard for your senses, then the experience will be the same. Right? We're thinking humans will be different, but it's not. It's the same. Like that. What the animals experience, what we experience is the same thing. There may be different flavors, different tastes. You know, we can see is that the animals, it's not necessarily as refined. But the principle of the experience gained is the same. Otherwise, what would be the point of the karma where someone is trying to taste sense gratification but not in what's recommended for a human, so therefore he ends up as an animal, that therefore they taste that sense gratification. Does that make sense? So, the man is sitting there, he's eating, let's say, his hamburger. So, he's getting a particular satisfaction from that. But that's not human satisfaction. So therefore, he'll be put into that body that gets that same satisfaction, but it matches the nature of that living entity. In a sense. So this idea that it's not the same, that we're unique, we're different. No, it's exactly the same. That's why it's saying, this is what's going on everywhere. The unique thing for the human being is they're not engaged in these things. They're engaged in devotional service, trying to understand the Supreme. That's what makes them unique. But if we just think, oh, human beings are unique, and so our eating, sleeping, mating, defending is unique. No. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, that's standard. What's unique is the ability to understand the self, to understand the Supreme. That's the... Sukracharya was an acharya, or expert, in family affairs, which involved the transfer of semen from the he-goat to the she-goat. The words kaschid aja swami expressly indicate herein that Sukracharya was no better than Yayati, For both of them were interested in family affairs generated by Sukra or semen. Sukracharya first cursed Yayati to become old so that he could no longer indulge in sex. But when Sukracharya saw that Yayati's emasculation would make his own daughter a victim of punishment, he used his mystic power to restore Yayati's masculinity. Because he used his power of mystic yoga for family affairs and not to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this exercise in the magic of yoga was no better than the affairs of he-goats and she-goats. Yogic power should properly be used to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Lord himself recommends in Bhagavad Gita 6:47. Yoginam api sarvesham madgaten natmanatmana. Shadavan bhajate yomam same yuktat tamo mataha. Of all yogis, he who abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued. Right, so having the mystic abilities from yoga, if they're not used for the Lord, then they're a waste of time. They're no different than the animals. Right? The animals can do all kinds of far-out things. So, you know, it's like we got spiders, you know, up in the corner in our room, right? So then what do? We get a broom, stick it on a stick, and get rid of the spider, right? But now if a man can produce that spider web and then, you know, move around, and then they write books about him, make movies. You know what I'm saying?
They also chase him with the broom?
Yeah, and they also chase him with the broom, yes. Okay. So, I mean, somebody's smart, right? You know, he's just a spider, you know? Yeah. So, that's the whole thing, is that it's not special. It's just the same. So, therefore, yoga is meant for connecting with the Supreme. Otherwise, if we use the mystic powers for eating, sleeping, mating, depending, what's the point? But if we use it for serving the Lord, that's a real yogi. That's the best of yogis.
Mystic powers can give you more satisfaction if you use them in those four. So that's the point.
Yes, but then you're just a dancing goat. You're the goat that's been down to that fancy place where they gave you a nice bath, you know, and special shampoo and blow-dried your hair. But you're still a goat. That's the
spider.
Spider, okay, spider. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear wife, when the he-goat had his testicles restored, he enjoyed the she-goat he had gotten from the well. But although he continued to enjoy for many, many years, even now he has not been fully satisfied." Srila Prabhupada comments.
It's supposed to be when the
Sukadeva Goswami doesn't have a dear one.
Good point. Oh, I thought it was just a continuation of the previous.
It is, but Yayati's speaking. So it's a sub story.
Everywhere is Sukadeva Goswami.
Yeah, it should say Yayati.
Oh, okay. Okay. Srila Prabhupada comments, "One was bound by affection for one's wife, one is attached to sexual desires that are very difficult to overcome. Therefore, according to Vedic civilization, one must voluntarily leave his so-called home and go to the forest. Pancha shordvam vanam vrajet. Human life is meant for such tapasya or austerity. By the austerity of voluntarily stopping sex life at home and going to the forest to engage in spiritual activities in the association of devotees, one achieves the actual purpose of human life." Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, "Oh, my dear wife, with beautiful eyebrows, I am exactly like that he-goat, for I am so poor in intelligence that I am captivated by your beauty and have forgotten the real task of self-realization." Srila Prabhupada comments, "One remains a victim of the so-called beauty of his wife. His family life is nothing but a dark well. Hitvatma patam griham andakupam. Existence in such a dark well is certainly suicidal. If one wants relief from the miserable condition of material life, one must voluntarily give up his lusty relationship with his wife. Otherwise, there is no question of self-realization. Unless one is extremely advanced in spiritual consciousness, household life is nothing but a dark well in which one commits suicide. Vladimir is therefore recommended that in due time, at least after one's 50th year, one must give up household life and go to the forest. Vanam gato yad dharim ashrayi. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.5. There one should seek shelter at the lotus feet of Hari. So, if you want to get out of material existence, the miserable condition of it, then you have to give up the desire to enjoy in grihastha life. So, either one can do that while as a grihastha, and one gives up and sees everything in connection to the Lord, or then one mechanically goes through these stages where then one takes vanaprastha and gives this up. Right? The idea is that the person who has been able to do that as a grihastha will also follow vanaprastha, right? Because you don't have to maintain so many things for use in Krishna's service, right? It means as a grihastha, you have to keep so many things for Krishna's service. But as a vanaprastha, that's not necessary because you're engaging in direct devotional service. So the indirect becomes less, so less facility. While as a grihastha, then the indirect aspects are more. Right? So therefore, more facility. So it's just natural, even if one is able to see everything in connection with Krishna, the time comes at vanaprastha, one keeps less, right? Because that's for the next generation, right? The kids, they take all the stuff. That's why they get the house, they get all the jazz like that, and then one goes to the forest. One lives that simpler life. So whatever it is that... Does that make sense? So in either way, either one has already attained that consciousness before and grihastha life is going very nicely, or one at least then voluntarily accepts it when one takes vanaprastha and then endeavors for that consciousness. So the idea is that one can gain this consciousness before. We see Prahlad Maharaj already had this consciousness before he became a brahmachari. Right? And so, and Yayati here, then in grihastha life, is just developing it and now is ready to move on to vanaprastha. Right? Because now if he gives the youth back, then he becomes an old man. You know, so it's not that, oh, but he's still young. No, he's going to be really old.
Good. Like regarding vanaprastha, when a grihastha takes a vanaprastha ashram along with his wife, then still the risk factor is involved because the wife is there. Then it is better to go without the wife.
No, it means just whichever works, because the point is that things will be simple. So the point is how much does the wife actually require to maintain herself to be engaged in direct activities of devotional service? So it's reduced down to that.
Yeah. But here the whole point is about the woman that has been spoken of, you know, rather than the things. So is it not that, you know, one person of the woman will be like, still the problem is there?
Not necessarily. The point is if the that's what it says. Unless one is extremely advanced in spiritual consciousness, it just depends on the consciousness. Right? See, so if it's seen in cooperation, then they can do nicely together. And if not, then they separate. If the wife would rather be with the children, then she's there, and the man then goes on his way. But if not, they can do together, the children take care of themselves, then that's also fine. It's just whichever works best for the couple. It's going to be individual. That's what the thing. For each couple, how they proceed with this, that'll be different.
Because the element of attachment has been shown over in the husband.
Yes, attachment's there, but then it's reduced down voluntarily. So now it's just about engagement in devotional service. It means all the sexual aspects are given up. And so now it's just about maintaining just to do devotional service. So just how much is required to do that, that's all you worry about. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you don't have to maintain all those saris that you never wear because they're only for special occasions, but no occasion is quite special enough, because once you wear them, then you can't wear them again for many years, or you have to wait until, okay, we're going back to, you know, to another country, and there's will be there, Jamaat, I can wear it there.
You can wear it in the forest.
Yeah, yes, you can wear it in the forest, then nobody cares, you wear it every day. Right? You know, like that. So all that can be given up. You know what I'm saying? So that's the kind of thing. It's reduced down to just what works. So in other words, all those Louboutin shoes, those all go. You know, sorry to say, but... Depends. Is that okay? Yeah.
I just wanted to know about the woman. It's not always so ideal situation that she can go back to the father, or let's say the man takes a yes, and who will give the protection to the lady? Because as we just read, she should always be a man.
Yes, it means whatever works. So if father's there, the sons are there, you know, just as a community, you know, whatever it is.
So community is also like...
Yeah, but you'll have to be... But the point is it's without possession. So in other words, what's the difference between grihastha life and vanaprastha? Vanaprastha means that sense of possession is not dynamic. It's enough for the relationship, but it's not dynamic. In other words, the woman's not controlling the husband about everything. She has to leave that. It means they're a couple, they may be together, but that's left. So the point is if one is in the community, but one's not applying that position of possession on anyone. You understand? Because grihastha means, vanaprastha means giving up the responsibility of household life. That's what it is. So household life means possession. So then it's just Krishna's for Krishna's service. So that means one can't control men in the community as one would control a husband. That's what has to be given up. You give that up, you don't have to worry. It's not a matter, well, how many saris, you know, how many, you know, hair blowers, you know, how many this and that, you know. That, you don't have to worry about that. You give up the sense of possession of a man and exercising that, then how much stuff do you need?
You can leave your saris?
Hmm?
You can keep the saris?
If it works for you, hey, why not, you know?
You dye them white.
Get them all bleached. not giving up one of them. Yeah.
Right. Sense of position means basically control the ship mentality.
Yes.
So when you want to say that the woman should give up the control the ship mentality, or the husband implies that she should be submissive, which she is.
Yes, but there's a difference between submission with control and submission without control.
Submission with control is basically love. I mean, the actual dharma of the wife.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, okay. There's a program in the evening. You know, go, chant, things and that. She's not feeling so... in the mood, because she just heard that her eternal, you know, nemesis will be at that program. So the plan was to go to the program. She doesn't want to go to the program. The husband was still thinking to go to the program. Now, then he goes to the program and then suffers the consequences, or doesn't go to the program and then is not going to do anything special at home. Right? So, is that what we're talking about? The love due to possession that you're referring to? That's what I'm talking about. That's what's given up at vanaprastha. Does that make sense?
Go to the program?
Huh?
You can go to the program.
You both go to the program because who cares? It's like that. Your arch nemesis, who cares? You know, that's it. And if you don't care, that's the, you know, that's the most undermining thing to your arch nemesis, because now their whole meaning in life is gone.
They also
accept Vanaprasth. Yeah, so then they have to take Vanaprasth.
So it's preaching.
Yeah, so it's preaching. Yeah, sometimes. That's what we're meaning. Controlling everything about the wife being the center. Grihastha means the wife's not the center anymore. Doesn't mean the man's the center. It means Krishna consciousness is the center. Vanaprastha. You understand? Because Grihastha, it's about the woman. It's not about anybody else. Right? So, therefore, Vanaprastha means now it's about direct activities of devotional service. So, the couple has been together now for 20, 30, whatever, however many years. And so, now they know the routine, who does what, you know, who uses the bathroom when, you know, all the different things. And it's comfortable. So you can just get up, get ready, go this and that. They support each other and all that. And that's what's left of their relationship. And then they do things together, and now they talk about devotional service and advancing in devotional service. It's connected with them as a person. But you don't need all these mental trips, because what's the point of the mental trip? You know what I'm saying? Because it's not about the satisfaction of bending the whole universe to one's will. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, taking the spoon and with your mind bending it. You know, we're not doing those things. You know, you don't. I was just saying, the oracle does not do that. The guys in the next room, they do that.
There is no spoon.
What?
There is no spoon, see? This guy's in the room after that. There is no spoon. I got the spoon. Yes. The third room's where the bucket of holiday is. Yes. So he needed the spoon. So he went back to the first room, then took the spoon, then came through the middle room, excuse me, and then went to the third room and ate his holiday. Yes. So that's the point. Being engaged in devotional service. Does that make sense? So you have to catch, there's a mood there. That's why we don't get, we haven't been able to establish these things. Nice. Individuals, yes, but as a whole, no, because Vanaprastha means, oh, how many saris, how many shoes? You know, like that. Means if they don't have laces on them, can we have more? Or if the heels are shorter, can we have more? Or, you know, like this and that, or... You know, is it all right? Okay, I got rid of all the ones with the high heels, but the ones that have the shorter heels, is it all right if I put red lipstick on the bottom so they still look like the ones with the high heels? You know. Does that make sense? Okay. So, that's not what we're talking about. Vanaprastha is a state of mind. Same like Grihastha, same like Brahmachari. If that's caught, means... Krishna consciousness is the highest, so therefore, the next down is the mind. So there's a state of the mind. Then that engages the body. So the body is engaged in devotional service because the subtle body is in the proper state to be connected to Krishna because of the consciousness. But we take it all as secondary. That's why we can't get off the... That's the difference. The Vedic has the most detailed secondary of any culture in you know, the world. But the... But it's not about the secondary. It's because the primary is even more developed. So we're taking, oh, we have this, we have a little bit, they have so much, that's bulky. What they don't understand is that there's the primary that's even greater. So since there is no primary in this, in the non-Vedic school, then it doesn't really get anywhere. Does that make sense? So, yes. Yes.
About this point of at the end of the 50th year, living for mechanically doing, so much as you said, if the consciousness and the mood is proper, that is not necessarily a hallmark.
No, the point, if the consciousness is right, then why wouldn't that be the point? If the consciousness has already been attained, one's technically already on that consciousness of sannyas, but one's been a grihastha and doing all the duties there, then when the time comes, now you do the next. You know, just like the curtain closes and the curtain opens, it is the next scene or the next act.
So the doubt is, what if your jihad development is not, the children are not married yet, and so there's still responsibilities there?
Okay, then that one has to see nicely. That's why the Vedic system, everything is geared for a younger age. You know, that's the whole thing. The Western doesn't like older, doesn't like younger, doesn't like inside, outside, you know, up, down, anything. It's like, no matter what you say, modern culture won't like it. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it's considered, when you're younger, it says youth, that's when you start all these things. Right? Because then one has that energy and everything. Then in middle age, then one is just carrying on what works, you know, and trying to that. And then at old age, then one winds all that down. Right? So, if it's not, but the point is how much is necessary to maintain. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, at 50, the guy doesn't have to keep as much stuff or do as much stuff or... You know what I'm saying? So he, if nothing else, at least he can reduce down. Or if the wife is all, they can reduce down. The point is you don't reduce down for the kids, because they're the up-and-coming next, you know, group. So whatever is going on for the other members of the family, that might continue. But for oneself, one reduces that. And so that will automatically make things, you know, easier. And then, technically, the wife should also be doing the same thing, so it becomes simpler. And then whatever is required for the children, that maintains. Right? So then you've cut it down quite a bit. So you can live a simpler life, then like that, until those duties are done, and then move on. Does that make sense? Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, a person who is lusty cannot satisfy his mind even if he has enough of everything in this world, including rice, barley, and other food grains, gold, animals, and women. Nothing can satisfy him. Srila Prabhupada comments. Where's footnote 24?
In the
corner. There it is. Okay. Improvement of one's economic condition is the aim and object of a materialist. But there is no end to this material advancement, for if one cannot control his lusty desires, he will never be pleased, even if he gets all the material wealth of the world. So even if not, because grihastha life means increasing, so at least at this point it should just be maintained. You know, if not, you know, simplified, like that. You know, we can say for the dependents it may be increasing, but for, you know, the parents that's decreasing. Footnote 24. Lord Vamanadeva similarly stated, O my dear king, even the entirety of whatever there may be within the three worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled. If I were not satisfied with 3 paces of land, then surely I would not be satisfied even with possessing one of the 7 islands, consisting of 9 varshas. Even if I possessed 1 island, I would hope to get others. We have heard that although powerful kings like Maharaj Prithu and Maharaj Gaya achieved proprietorship over the 7 dvipas, they could not achieve satisfaction or find the end of their ambitions. One should be satisfied with whatever he achieves by his previous destiny. For discontent can never bring happiness. For discontent?
Dissatisfaction.
Discontent can never bring happiness.
If you're not content.
So it wouldn't be like discontentment or... Okay.
Because.
Because. Oh, okay. For discontent can never bring happiness. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, for mean him being discontent. Okay, one is discontent. Okay. A person who is not self-controlled will not be happy even with possessing the 3 worlds. Srimad Bhagavatam 8:19-21-24. In this age we see much material improvement. But still, people are struggling to get more and more material opulence. Manas shastani indriyani prakriti prakriti stani karshati. Bhagavad Gita 15:7. Although every living entity is a part of the Supreme Being, because of lusty desires, one continuously struggles for so-called betterment of one's economic condition. To have a satisfied mind, one must give up his heart disease of lusty desires. This can be done only when one is Krishna conscious. Bhaktim param bhagavati prati labhya kamam hrid yogam ashvapa hinot yachirena dhiraha. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:33-39. If one becomes Krishna conscious, then he can give up this heart disease. Otherwise, this disease of lusty desires will continue, and one cannot have peace in his mind. But because you have to give up a higher for a lower. I mean, a lower for a higher, right? So by gaining a higher, you can give it up. So, what's higher than material? Right? Spiritual. One can't give up material desire unless one attains to spiritual desire. Right? That's the position. So one may give up something lower on the material totem pole for something higher, but one can't give up material desire without devotional service. Because we're thinking, okay, I'm giving up this thing, I'm giving up that thing, you know, by you know our determination and knowledge and endeavor. But the point is what are we trying to give up? That thing, or are we trying to give up material desire? So that's why we see sometimes it's very hard to give up something. At the same time, it's so much easier for the devotees to give up things than the karmis. Right? So does that make sense? So if we see it connected to Krishna, then it's very easy to give up. If we're just seeing it's by my own determination, then that might be more difficult. Or if we see is that someone's given up and they've been functioning a particular way and then later on troubles come up again, what does that mean? It means that material desire hasn't gone. It's not that desire for that thing. It's material desire. And since material desire has to manifest through something, it'll manifest through something that's connected with one's conditioning. Right? Because what's the point of, how you say? Let's say someone's attached to good food. It's not that, you know, seeing the horse eating his bag of oats, he gets, you know, disturbed. You know, he wants that. No, it has to be in consideration of yourself. Does that make sense? No?
Yes.
So you have problem with
oats
and stuff like that. Yeah, that's what we mean, is that you'll only be disturbed by things that connect with your conditioning.
No, I was thinking about Salvari Muni. That's why he got disturbed?
Oh, okay. No, but that's thinking of the sex itself. The concept of the sex. Now, if you think about the horse is eating and the horse looks very satisfied and that makes you hungry, that can happen.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But it's not that Saubari Muni then went looking for a fish to marry. He did go out and ask the king.
Wasn't thinking about that.
Yes, that's what we're meaning. So that's the point, is that the principle, so the material desire doesn't go, but the particular thing may go. So one may give up one material, the form of one material desire, but unless material desire goes, it will simply manifest as something else. That's what we're meaning. So that's why we're not surprised when we see these great personalities doing all kinds of funny stuff. Because unless material desire is gone, then, you know, how you say? Funny stuff happens. You can see that in the back of the truck. Yeah. So this one thing it said, it was on the back of the truck, those big monster trucks, you know? They're 22-wheel trucks, those kinds. So it says that, if you hate trucks, you know, there's one easy solution, right? Stop buying stuff, then trucks don't have to transport it. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, solve the problem. Okay. So there is the principle of giving up material desire, then there's giving up a specific desire. Right? So giving up a specific desire, that's pious, that you're bringing your desires in line with what's recommended in Shastra. So that's a higher principle. But ultimately, you have to give up material desire. Right? So, yes, you're taking one in for another. So we can't say that because it doesn't matter, it's all about the primary, the secondary doesn't matter, but the secondary still has to be progressive in support of the primary. It can't be regressive. Right? So that's why then the pious lifestyle is what's recommended. But, so one's improving that, but one has to give up the need for it. Mm. That's then the point. So someone very advanced, then they could be in household life, and they would be as well situated in Krishna conscious as if they were in any other form, any other position in life. So for them, it's just whatever's practical at the time. So if grihastha life is practical, then they continue with that. Because it's not going to disturb their Krishna consciousness. So if the practical get everything done for everybody else, yes, then he's there. But as soon as it's not necessarily, then immediately it shifts. Does that make sense? But otherwise, then you're mechanically trying to invoke that sense of trying to give up material attachment. But it can only be successful in Krishna consciousness. That's why we don't follow the Vedic system without Krishna consciousness. We follow it with Krishna. That doesn't mean we don't follow it. We follow it with Krishna consciousness. Because it's the most effective system. Why would we give up the most effective system for something that's not? Right? Does that make sense? You know, if we're offered a new car or an old second-hand car that hardly works and the bumper's falling off, why would we take that? Just because, you know, my father used to have a car like that. You know? You don't do that. So that's the whole point is that we don't maintain these material attachments when they're unnecessary. Right? The purpose of the piety is to engage in devotional service. We don't have the piety to engage in the Vedic culture without devotional service. Right? But with devotional service we can engage in it. So that's why it's the best, right? That's the point. You use the best in Krishna consciousness. So that's why the Vedic is recommended. You can say, well, it's mundane, we don't care for mundane. But, you know, yes, the funky old car is also mundane. You know, not that the new car is mundane and the old one's not. Does that make sense? That's the whole point, is that if we're throwing out social systems and we throw out the Vedic, that means automatically you already threw out the Western. Mm. Because if we're taking the Vedic as useless, that means the Western is absolutely useless. Like that. Does that make sense? But we're seeing things in connection to Krishna, so we're going to use the social system. Why wouldn't we use the Vedic since it's superior? Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole. Yes. So, therefore, engaging in the social system itself without Krishna consciousness, then it will be very difficult. So, but in Krishna consciousness, then very easily one can move forward and give up the material attachment. Because that's what we're trying to do, give up material attachment. We're not trying to give up attachment to a particular thing. We're trying to give up material attachment, you know, how you say, in general, like that. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, what do? When these purports come up, then we start getting, you know, edgy. You know, how is it? Edgy? Mm-hmm. Yeah, edgy about, you know, is it going to attack my this or that, or what about this and what about that? We're talking about specifics. It's talking about material enjoyment, material attachment. Attachment for being in the material world. Attachment to being separated from Krishna. That's what we're trying to give up. You know, and if by dealing with the external that will help us become inspired, then yes, we do. But if we're inspired anyway, then it's not necessary until it's the time for its necessity. So. Yes.
In the case of the person who cannot see the superiority of this, the Vedic system, and he's attached to the Western. What advice would you give for him to progress in that?
The whole point is you have to be able to see things connected to Krishna. Right? Even if they want to use the Western cultural norms, what's the connection to Krishna? You can't just say, well, it's for Krishna. It means you can say anything's for Krishna. You know, you go down to the high security, you know, prison and bring out everyone one by one and ask them, are you wrong? Did you do wrong? And 99% or 98% or 97, one of those, they'll all say no. It's just bad circumstances, bad luck, I ended up here. I shouldn't be here. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, the saying, talk is cheap. Everyone says, oh, it's for Krishna. How? Explain mechanically how. Oh, we're not jnanis. So, what's going on here? So you don't know. You know? You know what I'm saying? So, that's the whole thing, is that we'll pride ourselves in knowledge of technical details in things, but not in relationships or philosophy. So this is misapplication of intelligence. Yeah. Does that make sense? So the whole point is therefore one has to be able to take and okay, what Krishna says in the Chatur Shloki, that what is of value to you? Why are you doing it? You should at least be able to understand, okay, in the Western lifestyle, I like a certain thing. What is the value there? Okay, you like to wear pants. Why? Okay? Is it because then people don't look at you funny and all that, so it's a matter of social security and all that? Then, okay. But the point is who's the real security? It's Krishna. So in other words, the security you gain by wearing those pants is actually Krishna, not the pants, not the Western culture, not your position in the society. It's Krishna. So you see like that with everything. You know what I'm saying? So why do you eat what you eat? Oh, because if I eat this, then I'll be healthy. Because if you eat Indian stuff, that always makes you sick, right? I can eat Chinese stuff, I can eat Malaysian stuff, Indonesian stuff, I could eat Bali stuff, I could eat Middle Eastern stuff, hey, falafels are great, you know, and the baklava, hey, that's great. I could eat Greek food, I could eat it, of course I can eat Italian food, I could even eat French food if I didn't have anything else to do, you know, and British food, do they even have food, you know, like that. And then, you know, and then we go over, you know, to America, we can eat that, I can eat Mexican, like that, but farther south than that, generally I don't bother, and, I think we covered it, right? You know, in Hawaii you got some pineapples, right? Okay, so therefore I can eat anything anywhere on the planet except India, because if you eat from India, that'll make you sick, right? Something like that. Yeah, so therefore, okay, so you're eating this food. Why? Because this makes you healthy. That's your consideration. But health, and you know, the ayur, that's Krishna. Krishna is the potency of health. So therefore, this food is made, because it's Krishna. It's not the food, it's Krishna. Because you're looking for Krishna in this. You're not looking for Krishna in the Indian food. Like that. You're looking for sickness in the Indian food. That's why you get it. You understand? So, so you have to connect it like that. Then you'll be purified. But you have to also be sincere in that, to understand is that attachment to anything in the material world is bad. Also being attached to a Western culture, it's still bad. It may be your preference, but still it's bad, ultimately. So you have to be willing, as you do connect these things to Krishna and understand them in relation to Krishna, as you get purified with knowledge and detachment, that at one point you see that it's not actually important. You have to be willing to accept that even this aspect of Western culture is not that important and be able to give it up. But if you maintain, no, it's all right to be attached, all right, we're using Krishna's service, yukta vairagya, you will never get out of the material world. You will stay here. You know what I'm saying? That's the problem. But if you're willing to give it up, then you'll advance in Krishna consciousness. Then you'll be able to, in that more purified state, be able to use that higher culture that you don't know anything about, because now the modes have changed and now you're functioning in goodness and pure goodness. So now you can relate to it. Well, when you were functioning in passionate ignorance, you couldn't relate to it. Right? Okay. Yeah. That's what has to be clear, is Vedic culture is in the mode of goodness, Western culture is based on the mode of passionate ignorance. It's not that people in passionate ignorance don't follow the Vedic culture, but the culture itself is goodness. And its intent is pure goodness. While the modern is based on passionate ignorance, and its goal is passion. So it's just inferior. And the reason people can't understand it is because of these impurities and attachments. So as they get purified, they'll be able to appreciate it. Then yes. So just like someone that's properly situated can understand, okay, this person is better situated there, let him be there and perform devotional service. Then they'll come up. So just in the same way you can accommodate that way, they have to be able to accommodate that there's progression. Does that make sense? Because I don't see anyone following that and progressing, and they started out, you know, wherever they were, you know, in some trailer park, and then, you know, after some years in devotional service and getting purified and moving up in their Western cultural understanding, that we find them in Monte Carlo, you know, hosting parties, right? You know, no, we still find them in the trailer park. Right? Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada.